Amen. And our key scripture is from the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 42. And it says, "And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that Christ is Jesus." In basic understanding from the book of Acts, chapter 5, we see how the disciples were called, warned, beaten, and they rejoiced. They rejoiced. They rejoiced. I remember back in University of Ghana when I was doing dawn broadcasting, and I was standing behind the setting window. And as I stood there and I preached with all vim and vigor, I looked up and I saw water coming from above. I thought it was blessings. Little did I know that it came from someone's room. And it poured down on my face. And I realized it was not water. It was something else. And when I got to my room, I was so annoyed. I said to myself, I will not preach again. But the Lord convicted me and said, it is a good thing to suffer for the kingdom. It is a good thing to suffer for the kingdom. One of the most important aspects of our walk in the Lord is preaching his word for the salvation of people. In the workplace, in school, wherever we find ourselves, we must preach so that men, women, children will be saved. So in today, the core idea is to see the essence of preaching the word. And I remember in the light of this three-part series that we are doing, this three-sermon series that we are doing, it's the core scripture is from the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. And it says, "For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel." Can we read it together? 1, 2, 3, Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, go. Amen. So we see a threefold manifestation of Ezra's action. The first aspect was he set out in his heart to study the word. Then he set out in his heart to practice the word. And then he set out in his heart to teach the word. Amen. So it's very important that we take note of this. And in the light of that, I encourage all of us to go into the study of the book of Ezra. Many of us don't like reading the Old Testament. Many of us don't like reading the Old Testament. We see it a bit boring. But trust me, the Old Testament is power-packed. Anybody who has a good command and understanding of the gospel, when you are reading the Old Testament, you see shades of the gospel throughout. And the Old Testament is an amazing foundation that gives so much meaning even to a lot of the things that are in the New Testament. Remember, Jesus did not come to abolish the law in the sense, but he came to fulfill it, to complete it, to bring more meaning to it. Can I hear an amen? So in the light of the book of Ezra, I highlighted three things. That the first aspect of the book of Ezra speaks of the return from exile. How Zerubbabel, under the order of King Cyrus, led the Israelites from exile. And he goes on to highlight the second point, the rebuilding of the temple and the community of the Israelites. How Zerubbabel led for the rebuilding of the temple. And guess what? The elders realized the presence of God was not in the temple. And how Ezra called the people of Israel not to forget their identity as Israelites. Tell someone sitting beside you, your identity is important. Shake the person by the shoulder. Your identity is important. Your identity is important. And in that light, Ezra called them to behave like children of God. But reality shows that there was a mixed reception of the message. And in the light of how the temple that was built did not have the presence of God, and how Ezra's actions was met with multiple mixed consequences, we see how the book of Ezra points to the most important thing. Cutting across the book of Nehemiah, it points out to the fact that the renewal of the heart is important. The renewal of your heart is important. Beyond everything that you can do, actions, God is looking at your heart. How do we say heart in Chinese? Nidashin. Yesu Shiwan Kan Nidashin. Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, they are really invested in what is running through your heart. So the Bible says that man looks on the outside, but God looks on the Shema. Yes. It's very, very important to build that understanding. And a critical scripture that I highlighted there was from Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33. And I read, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." In the earlier aspect of the verses, you see how God is writing off the old covenant because our fathers were not able to keep it because their hearts were made of stone. But God is saying that his greatest heart desire is for you to have a heart of flesh, that you would act based on understanding and right motives. Can I get an amen? So Brother Stephen, our elder, can you give us a wave? Our elder led us through the first part of the series on abiding in the word of God. Abido! Abido! Abide in the word of God. Your heart desire must be to live in the word. Eat the word. Eat the word and let the word be honey to you. Amen. And I went on to highlight also how we live the word. Remember I said Ezra chapter 7 verse 10 highlights three main principles of our work in Christ. Studying the word, living the word, and teaching the word. Amen. So it's very important to understand that in the light of what I shared on how we live the word, the first point I made mention is establish the word of God as your authority. The word of God is your supreme authority. As a child of God, what the Lord has spoken in his word is your greatest priority in decision making. Before you begin to share your opinions in any discourse, remember that the word of God is your prime rule regulation. Before you start talking about homosexuality, you start talking about abortion, you start talking about whatever social topic it is, remember that the word of God is your prime authority. And even as you talk, you make sure your wording is in line with the word of God. And when you establish the word of God as your prime authority, you understand that the word of God is not just a wish list, but the word of God is obligatory in understanding and living by. And the second point is we need to purpose in our heart to desire and desire to do the to live by the word. You must desire to live by the word. You must desire. How many of you have tried to pour water in a closed water bottle? Nobody. I have tried it before, and it did not work. I tried to pour water because I think that day I was so focused on something that I forgot that I had not opened the water bottle, and I put it under the water tap, and it was flowing. And as the water poured on the head, it just went off. It did not enter the bottom. The beginning of you opening up to live the word of God is by desiring. Turn to someone, tell the person, desire to live the word of God. And in the light of that, I went on to highlight the importance of meditation. Meditation. How do we say meditation in French? I have a funny feeling it's meditation. Shema? Meditation. Meditation. Everybody repeat after me. Meditation. Amen. You need to meditate. If you really want to live the word, you need to make a habit of meditation. And I went on to say, continuous exposure of the word enhances your ability to live by the word. Your friends. And Corinthians puts it properly. Do not be deceived. Bad company will corrupt good manners. Your exposure to the word encourages you to live the word. What you listen to, what you watch, influences your actions. So the book of Proverbs says that, as a man thinketh, so is he. What consumes your mind is what is birthed in your actions. And I went on to highlight the idea of living by faith. And at the core of it was from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. The idea of walking by faith is walking with full retrospect to the relationship we have with the Father. Building convictions on the eternal and not the physical. Building convictions and walking with the understanding of his promises for you and not what the physical has to give. And I asked the question to a friend this morning. If everything you have is taken away from you, would you still follow the Lord? Some of us read the book of Job and we say, oh, we bless God for Job. But how would have the story turned out if it was you? If it was me, it would be very difficult. I will not lie. But we pray for grace. That is why the grace of God is able to keep us and guide us. Amen. So in the light of that, I went on to share how we meditate. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. And it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that it is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Can we read Joshua 1, 8 together? 1, 2, 3, go! I think a lot of you have not eaten this morning. A lot of you have not eaten this morning because as you read, I'm seeing people. In Ghana, we have mental drills in junior high school. That is mathematical mental drills. Also, do you remember the timetable? 2 times 1, 2, 2 times 2, 4. And those of us who were in the back, who didn't know what they were saying. Anytime they say 2 times 1, 2, 2 times 2, 4, 2 times 3, 6, you say it and you go and you hear those at the back. And normally it was the bass people who were at the back and would just do. So please don't do that. When you read, just read it out loud. It's a proclamation of the word active in your life. So how do we meditate? The first point is read the word. Get access to the word. Podcast, YouTube, online. But I encourage people, get a physical Bible. Get a physical Bible. Get a physical Bible. You'll be less distracted if you have a physical Bible. And the second point is do away with distractions. Many people are distracted by their phones. As soon as you start reading the word, then you see a message. Are you up for hot pot tonight? And you are so excited, you say, hello, Felicia, let's go to the hot pot. Nishiwa la jama. Then you just forget the word. But do away with distractions. That is why men of the old liked to go to mountains. That's why they like to be in a quiet place. Now my meditation is past midnight. I like to meditate after midnight because that is the time when I don't hear Cocomelon playing. That is the time when I don't hear Blippi shouting. Meditation has to do with a place of silence and a place where you are not distracted. But you can train yourself to meditate even in the bus. Even in a class, wherever you find, sit in a group of people, you can still meditate. Do away with distractions. The second thing is, go over the word in your heart and in your mind. So you take a verse and you go over it in your mind. Continuously, breaking it down. And the next point was, be very attentive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. As you meditate on it, the Holy Spirit will lead you to another scripture. And it makes more sense of that verse. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will bring something to your remembrance to bring more understanding to that verse. And take notes. Write. When you are meditating, sometimes you hear something. Write. Sometimes the Lord burdens your heart with a certain action. Write it down. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Write down the vision which is given unto you. The idea of writing down is very important in our Christian walk. Write. Write. The sixth point, do it over and over again. So today our main focus is on preaching the word. Preaching the word. The word preach comes from the Greek word karoso, which means proclaim, declare, to announce, or to herald a message. Or to herald a message. So in the light of preaching, there is a message being proclaimed. And I always say this, whether we like it or not, we are delivering a message by our lives, by our actions. But as Christians, what is the message you are delivering? And this is very important in the light of the Christian faith. According to Romans chapter 10, verse 14, he says, how then will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe him whom they have never heard? Here, without someone preaching, preaching is a critical part of the salvation process. For someone to hear the message of Christ, there needs to be a preacher. That is why you need to pray for boldness to open your mouth to that friend. If someone is sitting beside you, tell the person, I pray boldness for you. Tap the person by the shoulder, tell the person, I pray boldness for you. Because you need boldness to talk about Jesus Christ. Some of you, you have the boldness to talk about everything. You can talk about Louis Vuitton bags. You can talk about the mascara you put on your mouth. You can talk about the latest bags. You can talk about you can talk about everything except Jesus Christ. Preach Christ. And in that light, what do we preach to them? In chapter 1. But we preach Christ crucified. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. What do we preach? We preach Christ crucified. We preach that Jesus Christ is the only way. We preach that Jesus Christ is the King. We preach that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. We preach that man was conceived in sin, that women were conceived in sin, and we need Jesus Christ as the only means to salvation. We preach that Jesus Christ was born, he died, was crucified on the cross, and resurrected on the third day. We preach Jesus Christ. That is the core of our preaching. And we go on. What is the importance of the preaching? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. And repeat after me. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. So the importance of the word is for reproving, is for rebuking, is for exhorting. The idea of preaching the word is to present each other complete in Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 makes us understand that we are all being matured into the fullness of Christ. And it's very important for us to have that mindset that as we preach, our desire is to enhance more Christ-likeness in people. Can I get an amen? So the first form of preaching is with your life. Tell someone, your first form of preaching is with your life. And I read 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. You yourselves are our letter of recommendation written on our hearts to be known and read by all men. Apostle Paul declared that the seal of his apostleship was the people he was nurturing in the Lord, because their lives spoke about Christ and the work he's doing in them. Your life, your very life must show Christ. Your very life. How do I say your very life, like your life in Chinese? How do I say it in Chinese? Like your life. Daisy. Eh? Nida Shangmian. Shangming. Your very Shangming must proclaim Jesus Christ. Your very Abrabo. If you come to my local language, Abrabo, and the way it's even pronounced is very heavy. Abrabo. Your life must preach Jesus Christ. And how does your life preach Jesus Christ? How you behave to others. How do you deal with others? That shows what your life is preaching. How do you deal with your husband? If you wake up one morning and all the meat you were going to use for your stew has been eaten, how do you deal with your husband? I hope my wife is listening to it from the speaker downstairs. How do you deal with your husband? How do you deal with your wife? How do you deal with your children? How do you deal with people who have offended you? How do you deal with your brother? That brother that seems to always offend you. That is the apex of you manifesting Christ. How you deal with others. Turn to someone, tell the person, others are important. And in that light, I want to highlight a second point. That the way you live your life is also important, especially for children. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. It says, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. The idea of teaching your family and preaching to your family is how you live. I remember one day my wife, she told me not to drink ice water again. So I was drinking ice water and she caught me and said, don't drink ice water again. It's bad for you. Have you heard me? And I stopped. I put it down. So I was just drinking normal water. And JD looked at me and said, Daddy, don't drink ice water. It's bad for you. Have you heard me? And my daughter is 3 years old. And I realized that what she sees you doing is exactly what she will do. The idea of children being preached to is very little by words. What they see you do is what they will do. That is why, as a couple, it's very important to love one another. Because how you love one another is how the children will love people outside the house. Be very intentional about how you live your life, especially around your children. I don't know why, all of a sudden, Jadida's favorite food has become chicken. I just can't explain it. Or can I? So the reality is, our preaching to our family begins with our life. You can't say one thing and be doing another thing. Amen. And in the light of that as well, I want to remind us, 1 John 4:17. It says, by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in the world. As Jesus Christ is, so also are you. Tell someone, as Jesus is, so are you. How did Jesus behave? How did Jesus behave when they offended him? Hey, if it was you who was on the cross, you would not have said, Father, forgive them. You would have said something else. The reality of the life of Jesus Christ is that he has given us the real standard for us to live by. And we must desire to be Jesus to many people. Especially those that offend us. Especially those that are around us. Be Jesus. If they are looking for Jesus, let them see Jesus in you. Amen. The second point on how to preach is with your words. The second form of preaching is with your words. So Colossians chapter 4 verse 6 says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. The reality about our words is that it speaks of the authority that we are under. You can't just be cussing and saying all sorts of bad words when you meet your fellow unbeliever friends. You have to be different. Your words must be different. When they are gossiping, don't gossip. Your words must be different. When everybody is using bad language, you let your words exalt Christ. Even when you are angry, think before you speak. Because the reality is that every word you speak carries life. John chapter 6 verse 63, he says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. What spirit backs your word? That's why sometimes you can listen to someone speaking and you become encouraged. And sometimes you just hear someone speaking and you become depressed. Let your words echo the Jesus Christ in your heart. Especially when you are talking to unbeliever friends. Let your word echo Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 12 verse 11. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death. Your testimony is important in preaching the gospel. Tell someone sitting beside you, don't keep your testimony to yourself. Tell someone, don't keep your testimony to yourself. I was telling my sister at the back this morning, I was having a conversation with her that the Lord has really blessed my family with so many miracles. I remember when we had conceived Judah and we went to do the test for Down syndrome. And they told us that his Down syndrome, Shama, was very high. So it's possible he would be a Down syndrome baby. And we came home and my wife was so down. When I tried to crack jokes with her, she was not laughing. And then the sorrow rubbed onto me. And then we decided to pray. We prayed, we fasted. And mind you, when the doctors say some of these things, it's not like they don't know what they are talking about. They have gone to school for over 6 years, 10 years. So they know what they are talking about. So when they tell you some of these things, you resort to the one who can change scenarios and he who has the final say. We prayed, we fasted. And all out of the blue, one of the doctors called my wife and said, we need to do some tests. And part of the test was a Down syndrome test again. And when they did it, they say, oh, may you are henhao, babe, henhao. And I knew that it was the Lord who had worked the miracle. I knew it was the Lord who had worked the miracle. I remember when JD was being born, they came out, they told me to sign because the umbilical cord had wrapped JD's neck 3 times. So they said, if they have to do a cesarean session, I should sign and give them the. So I signed. And after 2 minutes, they came back again. And they said that they just realized that JD's shoulders are so broad. So they are going to dislocate one arm. What sort of. Then I remember my knees started shaking. And as soon as I signed the paper again, they went in. I went down and I started praying. And I said, Father, I need a miracle. We have been praying that, Father, a knife will not touch my wife. We have been praying that, Father, the baby will be born in good health. My wife said they reserved, I think, how do they call it, pints or pounds of blood? What? Pints. They reserved 4 pints of blood. By God's grace, they did not use one of them. The baby was born, and although the cord was around the neck, as she came out, they could remove it. She was not choking. When the baby came out, my wife was very strong as a Hebrew woman. She pushed, and the baby came out. There was no need for any dislocation. And when she pushed, she said she pushed 3 times. And she pushed another one. And she pushed another one. And all she heard was, nah, nah. And all the nurses were there. Wah, wah. It's very important for us to understand the place of your testimony in presenting Christ. But the greatest testimony you need to share is the testimony of Jesus Christ. In order of priority, if you are sharing the testimony, share the testimony of how Jesus Christ came in the form of flesh, gave his life and resurrected for your sins and my sins. And the second priority of testimonies is how you got to receive Jesus Christ and gave your life to Jesus Christ. Share that testimony. Amen. Share that testimony. Share that testimony of how, and be joyful about it. And the third testimony is how the Lord has orchestrated some of these blessings and some of these miracles in your life. Tell someone sitting beside you, share your testimony. Tell someone sitting beside you, share your testimony. What testimony do you have? Someone is going through, I remember there was this time, I had just 100 kwai. It was in 2017 or 2018. It was 2017 or 2018. I had just 100 kwai. And my wife had just come to China. And she's like, darling, I want to try something fancy. So quickly, I gathered my 100 kwai. Ifo, you remember Titan J? There was this fish restaurant down there. I went there. I ordered the fish, the big fish, 67 kwai. And I ordered a bottle of lemon juice, which was about 20 kwai. So how much do I have left? So when we finished eating, I went to him and I was like, Father, bless me. Bless me. I know it was not a good decision, but I know you are able to provide for me. And the Lord provided for me. What I'm trying to tell you is that God is still in the business of surprising people. And I want to encourage you. I don't know what the situation is in your life. I don't know what is causing you to worry, but God is able. There is a song I like so much. It says, exceedingly, abundantly, far above all you could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you, God is able to do just what he says he will do.
Because he won't give up on you. He's able. God is able. God is able to do that very thing he has told you he will do in his word. God is able to keep you and sustain you, presenting you blameless. And some people will ask, why me? Why am I the one going through this? Someone asked me, Pastor, why me? And I asked a question in return. So if not you, who? Who should? You see, the idea that you are too good for bad things to happen to you or for hard situations to come to you, it's not really biblical. God said he will not give you anything you cannot handle. And the you there is not by your strength. It is the strength of God. Whatever comes your way, God is able. And I want to encourage someone, trust the Lord to see his hand moving in your life. I don't know what you are praying for. I don't know what you are thinking about. I don't know what you are trusting the Lord for. But trust the Lord for his hand to be seen in your life. And not so that you can bluff, but so that his glory will be seen by all. Someone, I want you to hit your chest and say, I too shall share a testimony. Hit your chest. If you have any desire that you are trusting the Lord for, hit your chest and say, I too, I shall share my testimony. And you are doing this by faith. You are doing this by faith. I want you to have that situation in your mind. And I want you to say it by faith. Say, I too, I shall share my testimony. The Lord is able. God is able. Sometimes you are going through something. It is working patience in your life. Even as John says, even as James says, it is working patient and building you. Some of the things we go through are what shapes us and prepares us for ministry tomorrow. May the Lord strengthen you even as you are going through whatever you are going through. May the Lord never allow hope to fall away from your heart. May you still be hopeful because Christ in you, the hope of glory. May the Lord continuously remind you of what he has done. Amen. So in that light, we move on to the final aspect of preaching with your words. Acts chapter 5 verse 42. And every day in the temple, and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that Christ is Jesus. The idea of preaching. And as you can see, I've not even mentioned the essence of preaching from the pulpit. Now I'm going to that. So the idea of preaching from the pulpit comes with, if I can clearly say, three main aspects. Expository or exegetical preaching, topical preaching, and textual preaching. But the most important to you must be biblical preaching. In this season and time when there is so much rubbish going on, the greatest blessing you can give yourself is to read the Bible yourself. And I always say this, the reason why we have so many backsliding Christians is because of so many dusty Bibles. Amen. So in the light of preaching, I encourage you even in your small group, share the word in your small group. It's good to share your experiences and all that in small group, but the majority of it must be bound to the word of God. When you are talking to someone, I like what a friend of mine said. He said, I make sure that I mention the name Jesus in every conversation I have. Mention the name Jesus. Be intentional about mentioning Jesus' name. Those of you who were not here last month, I think I shared about the gospel. What entails in the gospel? I'll suggest you go back, listen to it, and highlight it in your conversations even as you go forward. Takeaways. The first takeaway, your greatest means of making Christ known is your life. Tell someone, live Christ. Live Christ. Let Christ be seen in your life. Let Christ be seen in your life. How you handle situations, let Jesus be seen. Let Jesus be seen so much in you. They will let them ask, what kind of person are you? I really thank God for the joy of the Spirit at work in me. Because there have been so many times I've been asked, what do you smoke? And I tell them I smoke the Holy Spirit. But let your life draw people to Christ. And when they come, be bold to present them Jesus Christ. Your greatest means of preaching is your very life. Many people will not get to hear what you are saying, but they will get to see the way you live your life. So ask yourself, that fruit seller who is downstairs, what does she think about your life? Your landlord, what does he think about your life? Your classmates, what do they think about your life? The second point, be intentional about your words and actions. Be intentional. Be intentional about the words you speak. Don't speak like everyone. Speak like someone bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let your words be gracious. Do not be afraid to share Jesus with others. Be bold enough to talk about Jesus. After you talk about restaurants, talk about Jesus. After you talk about the war in Ukraine, talk about Jesus. After you talk about the World Cup, talk about Jesus. After you talk about the latest car, talk about Jesus. Make it a desire to talk about Jesus. In our next Stories to Grow, we are going to be having a wonderful brother. We are going to have a wonderful brother. And this brother is going to be sharing how, by the grace of God, he invited people to church. He invited people to church. And I realize it's a very difficult thing for people to do, inviting someone to church. But he's going to share how he did that. I've been here for the past 7 years, and I've seen this brother bring in so many people to church. So many people to church. Some of them who have even gone forward to even be deacons of this church. Don't be afraid to talk Jesus. That's why you need boldness. And my mother said, if you really want to have a sensible conversation, you must risk offending someone. See, if you really want to have a sensible conversation, if you really want to have a progressive conversation, you must risk offending someone. And if you think, oh, I don't want to offend anybody by talking Jesus Christ, then I dare say you don't know the value of Jesus Christ. What did Jeremiah say? For your word is like fire shut up in my bones. That if I want to keep quiet, I cannot keep quiet. Say if I open my mouth and speak. The next point, if you believe you are called to preach, start equipping yourself. I want to encourage you, if you believe you are called to preach, and it starts with a desire, you want to preach from the pulpit, equip yourself. There are so many books. Now that the internet is available to almost everyone, use the internet for good things. Tell someone sitting beside you, use the internet for good things. Shake the person by the shoulder. Tell the person, use the internet for good things. I have built up this habit of learning how to cook from YouTube. So One day my wife came to catch me because I told her I wanted to do fried rice. And when she came to the kitchen, my phone was there and I was busy. And she said, "We thank God for the internet." And I said, "Oh, so you are not annoyed?" She said, No. Use the internet for good things. Use the internet to learn how to cook for your wife. Use the internet to learn how to preach. But above all, don't waste so much time online. Read your Bible. The Bible will teach you. And also, if you need any help, you can talk to me. I have amazing materials I can share with you. And the next part is pray. Tell someone sitting beside you, pray. I always say this, pray more than you talk. Pray more than you talk. Pray more than you talk. Don't build the habit of talking more than you pray. Pray more than you talk. If you see something you don't like, pray about it before you talk. A word that has been prayed over is more heavier than a word that has been spoken for a long time. So if your husband is doing something you don't like, this is not the time to nag. Pray about it and tell him, "I don't like the way you are eating McDonald's." Spencer, why are you smiling? You think I'm talking about myself? You see, when you pray about it, the Lord gives you direction on how to go about it. I remember there was this time when I did something funny and my wife was not happy. So she started giving me one by one answers. That thing kills me. "Darling, how are you doing?" "Good." It kills me so much. And in the night I was sleeping and I heard her praying, "Father, you are the head of my husband, even as she is my head. Father, touch his heart. Touch his heart, open his eyes to know how to save properly. Father, rebuke." So at a point, I got up and I told her, "It's okay. I have heard. I will change." The way she was praying and she was telling the Lord to deal with it, I said, "Hey." And trust me, it is better to fall into the hand of a man than to fall into the hand of God. Don't talk too much. Pray about it. In your children, if you are seeing something which is not so, pray about it. In your workplace, if you are seeing something which is not, pray about it. And the Lord will direct you. Can I get an amen? So in that light, I want to go to small group questions. Please take a picture of it and go and discuss in your small group. If you don't have a small group, take a picture of it and discuss with your best friend. Discuss at your family level, discuss. Have Bible study as a family. It's very good. Have Bible study as a family. You can make smoothies. And as you have the Bible study, be drinking the smoothie. You can fry chicken nuggets, a little spicy on the edges. And as you discuss, you see, when you are eating and the word is being shared, it goes faster. So take pictures. Let's rise up and pray. Let's rise up and pray. Let's say this prayer. Father, make my life a testimony. Father, work a miracle in my life. Pray. Say, Father, work a miracle in my life. Father, make my life a testimony. Let people hear of my story and let people give glory to your name. Pray. Pray for the Lord to work a miracle in your life. Pray for the Lord to bless you according to his will. Father, we thank you for today's sermon. Father, I pray that all that I've spoken, which is of you, Father, may it resound in the hearts of these who hear me. And all that I've spoken, which does not give glory to your name, Father, may they forget it. May they forget it. May they be transformed, O Father. May we all be transformed by your word. And let your name be glorified. Let's raise our hands for the benediction. Now may the Lord do in your life exceedingly, abundantly, above all you can ask or think, according to his power of faith and love, hope that is at work in you. Just like the resurrection of Lazarus, I pray for you that by the will of the Father, any situation that seems dead, may the Lord bring it to life for his glory. And I pray for you that may the Lord bless you with a faith-building testimony. And above all, may the Lord give you boldness to share the gospel, grace to live his word, and a sense of remembrance of his second coming. Go and be blessed. XICF, we are dismissed. God bless you. Turn to someone, shake someone, tell the person, have an amazing week. Go to 5 new people. I think there were some 2 new people who stood up at the back. Go to them, shake them, tell them, have an amazing week. Go to them, shake someone, shake someone, shake someone, tell the person, have an amazing week. Tell someone, have an amazing week. Go to the 2 new people that came. There are new people that joined us today. Don't forget to say hello to them.